his cabinet, Gianna Gelosi, Fox News President-elect Donald Trump announcing his picks for border czar and ambassador to the UN. Lucas Tomlinson is in West Palm Beach.
Trump posting to Truth Social last night about 11:30. I'll read it for you. It says, quote, Tom Homan will be joining the Trump administration in charge of our nation's borders, the border czar. There's nobody better at policing and controlling our borders. Trump also announcing his new ambassador to the United Nations, New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Trump telling the New York Post, quote, I am honored to nominate Chairwoman Elise Stefanik to serve in my cabinet as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Elise is an incredibly strong, tough, and smart America First fighter.
Tom Homan previously served as the former president's ICE director and told Fox and Friends.
Public safety threats and national security threats will be the priority because they have to be. They pose the most danger to this country.
President Joe Biden and President-elect Donald Trump will meet at the White House Wednesday morning as the president promises a peaceful transition.
Per National Security Advisor Sullivan, the president will go through top domestic and foreign policy issues when the two meet on Wednesday. This is an opportunity for the president to tell Trump where some things stand and get Trump's take on how he plans to handle those issues. The priorities of the White House in the next roughly 2 months include delivering hurricane relief funds, passing national defense policy, and confirming federal judges. Funding for Ukraine is also especially important for this administration. Sullivan is confident that by January 20th, they'll be able to send Ukraine the full amount of resources and aid that Congress authorized. He also says the president will have the chance over the next 70 days to make the case that supporting Ukraine contributes to Europe's stability.
And that is Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting. Now in the race for the House, Republicans are just 4 seats away from taking the majority. America's listening to Fox News.
Years ago, when I first started to feel pain in my hands and my joints, I did what most people did. I masked them, you know, to feel better for a few hours, only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again. Not until about a decade later did I understand that there's a better way. It's called Relief Factor. The good news is, for you, that you don't have to mask your pain anymore. Relief Factor makes it easy to get rid of the pain completely and naturally. Now, they have a 3-week quick start. It's $19.95. For less than a dollar a day, instead of masking the pain, try Relief Factor. On 70% of the people that try it, it eliminates that pain. How? Well, it's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors, and it's 100% drug-free. And right now, their 3-week quick start is $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask the pain. Fight it naturally with Relief.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Zachary Moran-Norris. Well, it's nearly been a week since Election Day, and thousands of ballots here in Yuma are still being counted. Yuma County Recorder Richard Caldwell says that the reason for the long wait is because every single ballot must be processed individually, and every signature must be verified. After verification, Caldwell says the ballots are carefully inspected to ensure they're valid and in good condition for counting. Finally, election staff handles tabulation, and the results go straight to the Secretary of State and local jurisdictions. And in case you missed it this weekend, the Yuma Palms Regional Center hosted the holiday tree lighting ceremony. The ceremony took place at the Yuma Palms roundabout just in front of Harkins Theaters. And the Fort Yuma Rotary held the Penitentiary Pint Fest at the historic Yuma Territorial Prison. The event brought together breweries from across the desert southwest for an evening of unique beer sampling. Proceeds from the event will support Yuma Rotary's community initiatives. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
El Dorado broadcasters in this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members.
DeNova Collaborative Health, La Bodega Kitchen and Bar, Watch Us Move, Grateful Enterprises, Elemental Life Spa, Back to Nature Learning Center, and Tacos Marlin.
If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Diana at yumachamber.org. That's Diana at yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2567.
Have you ever thought about the causes the brands that you support stand behind? Well, Pure Talk, my cell phone company, supports veterans. They've relieved $10 million in veterans debt, donated tens of thousands of dollars monthly to prevent veteran suicide, donated $50,000 to Micro Works, and that helps provide scholarships to veterans after active duty. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Reduce your inflation exasperation now at Cars and Carts. No huge cost increases here. The manufacturer of Evolution Golf Carts has authorized significant price reductions on all new Evolution Golf Carts, including the awesome new D5 model with a new sleek front-end design, front rear disc brakes, new chassis design with a 7-foot wheelbase, tilted steering wheel, and updated touchscreen display. This golf cart is nice. And now at insanely low prices. Cars and Carts, the place to go. Call today, 928-726-2286. Cars and Carts, 2899. South Sherry Avenue in Yuma.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome to another edition of Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner, attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. I'm in studio with my partner, Adam Hanson, and we have a special guest on the show today, Mike Green from RV World. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning, Sean and Adam. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So it's Veterans Day, so first and foremost, I want to acknowledge all those veterans out there that have served our country proudly and all those that are currently serving. Thank you so much for what you do, for putting your life on the line to maintain the freedoms that we hold so dear.
Absolutely. I love that, and we have to appreciate those veterans and everything that they've done for our country.
So, Mike, I want to get a little bit into your story. RV World is a huge success here in Yuma. It's a staple in the community. Tell me the background of RV World. Was that something that just was an heirloom that was handed down in the family from generation to generation? How did it begin, and how did you become the owner?
Well, I don't know if you have enough time for that on your show here.
We'll make enough time.
Yeah, the condensed version, my mom and dad moved to Yuma in 1991. Dad invited me down to come to work with him. We started on a couple acres over there, and just fast forward to today, and you know some of the background because we've done business with your company here. My dad passed in 2018. I was a successor of the business, and here we are today. Mom and Dad and I worked together all through the 90s and the 2000s, building the company together. And quite truthfully, we're having the time of our lives doing that.
Everybody has a story about how they came to Yuma. And I tell a lot of people that ask me if I like Yuma, because I go to Phoenix frequently for, both doctor's appointments and business. And I get the question, why Yuma? And I answer them, I go, Yuma's an acquired taste. It's one of those communities that, if you don't like it, you probably, that's it. That's not your thing. But when you do acquire that taste, it's in your blood. And it's in my blood. I love Yuma. And I can tell it's in your blood.
Yes, it is.
But you weren't born here. You're not a native Yuman. So how did you transport to Yuma?
I lived in the San Diego area. And so did my parents. That's where I was born and raised. And my dad had worked for another RV dealership in the early 80s. Him and my mom spent some time down here, and they loved it down here. So his goal was to, hey, someday I'm going to open up a dealership down there.
So he worked as a salesperson at a...
He was a salesperson, then a general manager.
Okay.
At a competitor for 16 years.
Was it always at RV lots, or was it...
Well, he started selling cars in the late 60s, and so just a little history on his RV knowledge. He prior to that, he was in the trucking industry.
Okay.
So he's working selling cars. The guy that owned the car dealership bought 10 Class A motorhomes at an auction. This is, if I remember correctly, about 1969. And they said, hey, we'll get Bill to help us sell. Bill's my dad.
Yeah.
We'll get Bill to help us sell those motorhomes because they're big. They're like trucks, and he knows about trucks. He'll be able to sell them. So things went pretty well. So they bought more RVs, and pretty quick, you know, they opened up an RV dealership, and my dad just kind of drafted right in there. And growing up, I mean, he when he was back selling cars, our family vacations, he'd go rent a little travel trailer, hook it up to a big brand new Pontiac station wagon, and we'd take off to Oregon and go fishing.
That's when cars had engines like trucks.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, that station wagon was longer than the trailer we were towing. You know, it was gigantic. But he always loved the camping and the RVing and, you know, what it did for our family growing up. So when he, you know, got the opportunity to get into the RV business, it wasn't just, hey, I think I can make some money selling these boxes. He loved the lifestyle.
Yeah.
And the lifestyle is really where it's at, because you're going to have a great time whether you're in a $1,000 trailer or a $1 million bus. You can still have the same good time. And you got your family together. Anyway, so he really believed in that. And that's kind of what got him into the business.
Uh-huh.
So later on, they bought a couple acres down here. He persuaded me to move down here. And I'll tell you right now, I moved down here. I was in the trucking business. I was hauling in and out of Yuma and Imperial Valley. And, you know, I knew it was hot. I knew it was the desert.
So he gave you a truck.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When I started at 16 years old driving.
Okay.
And
did he just hand you the keys and said, hey, here's a job opportunity?
Well, yeah, it's like here's an old 73 bag truck. See if you can go make a living. If you go broke, figure it out.
Don't call me. Uh-huh.
So anyway, he persuaded me to move down here. I moved down here and I thought, oh man, what did I get myself into? It was June when I moved. Picked a great time of year to move down here.
Uh-huh. But how long did you haul driving your truck?
From 76 basically till 1991, till they moved here.
Okay, so it wasn't just a short stint like, here, go drive a truck for 6 months and figure out your way around a diesel.
No, I earned a living doing it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then, you know, this was you know, there was nothing wrong with driving the truck, but you're kind of limited on what you can do and how big you can grow.
Did you have a lot of excess cash? And how is your money flow?
I, you know what? I don't think I've ever had enough excess cash. That's a trick question.
Yeah,
appreciate exactly. Asking that. But he persuaded me to move here. But back to what you were talking about loving Yuma. I do. I don't want to go anywhere else. I mean, I love it here, and it took a while, not really very long, but. When I first moved here, we could stand on the freeway in front of the dealership out there on Interstate 8, and there would be no cars. I mean, it was quiet.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, a car would be coming, and you'd think, oh, maybe they're going to pull in here and take a look, you know, and they just go right on by. So, it, you know, that certainly has changed. But like you pointed out, every time I go to Phoenix or San Diego, not that I don't like either place, but I was in San Diego all day yesterday, and I thought, boy, I'm sure glad I don't have to put up with all this traffic and all these people. And it's big.
Yeah.
It's big.
It's gorgeous. The climate is amazing. It looks like the Jurassic Park of all the plants that I tried to get to grow around my house that, like, they got on steroids, and they're just growing like crazy over there. And I'm envious of that. But then it's true, when I get back to Yuma, I breathe this sigh of relief that I can finally relax a little bit, because I just feel like there's so much going on that my nerves are a little bit on edge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you stop and think about your commute time to work. And I, you know, I know where you live.
Yeah.
So it's pretty close. It's very, you know, our dealership is very close to where I live. But, you know, it takes me 7 minutes if I hit the light red.
Right.
The one light.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, and I've got a lot of friends in San Diego still, and I listen to them like, oh, man, my commute, you know, it's like an hour and 20 minutes to get to the office today.
And it's not like a peaceful drive where they set cruise control. It's an hour and 20 minutes bumper to bumper that if you let one car length in between you and the next car, and somebody's going to sneak in.
Right, and your hands are at the 10 and the 2, and you're on point for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Just what you want to do on your way home.
It's probably more stressful than the actual job that they do.
I'm betting it is. You know, but you stop and think about that. Say if it's an hour a day each way, that's 2 hours away from your family.
Right.
That's a lot. Do that times, you know, 5 days a week or, you know, 22 work days a month or however many work days in a year. I mean, that adds up to a lot of time of unpleasantness.
Speaking about quality of life and employees going to work, tell me a little bit about your employees. How many do you have?
Right now, 64.
Okay. And when you interview somebody for a job, what's the primary characteristic that you're looking for?
You know, one of the things that I look at, and maybe this is a little bit old-fashioned, the first thing I look at is how many previous jobs have they had.
In quick succession?
Right.
Okay.
You know, so that's one of the things that I look at, and another old-fashioned thing, I like a handshake and eye contact and just some of those things. So I know there's a lot of different ways to interview somebody, but I prefer just to sit down and, you know, like you're interviewing me right now. I like that.
Yeah.
You just get to know each other a little bit and see what they're all about.
When you're interviewing them, other than just your gut feeling as to what type of character do they have, what type of traits do you like to pursue in an employee? Is there a certain background and training and skill that they have, or is it more of a personality and a deep set of beliefs?
Well, it depends on, you know, what position they're applying for. Like in our sales department, I always think that people that come from the food service industry are a really good candidate because they're used to dealing with a lot of people, and people are very demanding.
So food service industry, like fast food?
No, like, I'm sorry, you know, like a waiter, waitress.
Oh, okay.
Somebody in the restaurant business.
Got it.
That'd be a better analogy.
Yes, I totally agree. And I can say that because I've been there. I've been a server. I worked as a server at Outback Waitehouse
or
Outback Steakhouse. Yes. And it's interesting because you were at their beck and call, and you're trying to, you work your tail off for the half an hour that they're eating for a $2 to $10 tip, right? And it's very humbling. Anything that they ask, they're right, right? If they tell you that their Coke that's full of ice is not cold enough, it's not cold enough.
They're right.
And so you're working your tail off to do that, and you're constantly on your feet, and you're really looking for the tables that you've been assigned to be full. You don't want to be sitting in the back waiting in the kitchen for someone to arrive in your section. You want to be working your tail off because it's the tips that really make your wage. It's not the hourly rate that make it. And so I think it promotes that hunger to get out there and actually do the work.
Absolutely. And as a customer at a restaurant, when you get a good server, you cannot tip that guy or girl enough.
Yeah.
And whatever they make your experience. And if it's a great experience, you don't have enough money in your wallet to tip them for that, you know, because they deserve it.
Right.
Because not only are they taking care of you, and you'll answer this question better because I've never done it, but I got no idea how many tables a waiter's taking care of at any given time, but he's got, what, 5 or 10 guys?
It was five for us at Outback Steakhouse. And, of course, depending on the restaurant and the type of food that they serve and how many courses, I'm sure it's different in every situation.
Right. So it really, you know, not only you got to take care of me, you've got 4 other tables that are, you know, and I'm pretty easy to get along, but he put it out there. I'm going to eat it or drink it. It's good.
So is the customer always right?
The customer's always right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Have you experienced that? I mean, you think our culture's changed a little bit? If I go to Tractor Supply and I'm going through that aisle, or Cal Ranch or Sears,
I think so. I mean, I think you see certain companies that are starting to realize that, you know, customer service, I think, kind of slipped away for a while.
Yeah.
And that's really, at the end of the day, the only thing that makes your company any difference to people.
I think, you know, with Sears and Kmart, they probably thought they were too big to fail. They thought that they could put out whatever they wanted and treat you however they wanted, shine the floors, not shine the floors, replace the lights or not, and it didn't matter. And they found out the hard way it does matter.
Right.
We got to take a break. This is Life, Death, and Law. We'll be back talking more about what it takes to make it in the world today.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Beautiful forecast this week. We've got 82 for the expected high today, 51 the overnight low tonight. Sunny and 81 tomorrow, Tuesday night, 54 for the low. Back to 82 with sunshine on Wednesday.
All right, do-it-yourselfer. You've got the idea, and you got your building supplies at Southwest Lumber.
That's right.
Now, all you need is a bunch of expensive tools to get the job done.
Oh, that's right.
And you know just the place to rent them. Southwest Lumber, your home for everything home improvement. Southwest Lumber has half-day to multiple-day rentals available on just about anything you need to finish the job. Rent equipment and tools on Saturday and Sunday. It's free. Stop in today at 1917 South Avenue B in Yuma. Southwest Lumber, ready for everything.
Listen to KBLU from 8 to 9 every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law. Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Learn how you can plan your estate using a will or trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday, 8 to 9 a.m. on 560 KBLU.
Get your boots and hats ready for an evening full of delicious food and great music at the Asado and Brews Festival.
Hi, I'm Angelica with the City of San Luis. Checker Pass, Alazan, Sonora Dinamita, Cadetes de Linares will all take stage from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, November 16th.
We'll have prizes for the best asado. Free admission for the whole family at Jordunio Park in San Luis, Arizona. For more information, call 928-341-8538.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. This is Sean Garner. We've got our special guest, Mike Green. Mike, you operate a very successful RV dealership here in town, right? You've been doing that, it looks like, since 1991. That's what your hat says.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Got to put that out there.
Yeah. And as we were chatting before in the last segment, I asked you the question, is the customer always right? You talked about, yeah, they are. And I know personally I've had experiences where I go to Lowe's or I go to Home Depot or I go around town, and it feels like I'm not always right when I'm going through those lines.
That's if you can find somebody in the store to even talk to.
Yeah.
Is that a bigger reflection on minimum wage laws? It's a big issue, you know, where when the state, in my opinion, tells an employer, you have to pay your employees this much. Well, as an employer, we're looking for ways to cut costs. And so oftentimes that comes in the form of technology and getting rid of employees, unfortunately. Have you experienced that at all?
You know, not so much in our industry.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about, you know, poor customer service, and I think that it boils down to training, you know. And if, for example, if, you know, I have one of our managers come to me and they're saying, you know, hey, you know, Joe out here is, you know, he's not cutting it. He's not doing the doing the job right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my standard thing, and I think they know it now, too, but they go in the mirror and talk to yourself and ask you, did you give Joe the training that he needs? Did you show him the way? You can tell him, you know, but you need to show him. You know, we need to lead by example. And I think what happens, you know, in a lot of, you know, and I've never worked for a big corporation, so I don't know, but I only think this, that, you know, the guy gets up the corporate ladder and all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm not going to go out on the floor and help a guy find a 2x4. I'll tell you how to do it, but I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to show him the way. And then if you've showed him the way and you've tried to teach him, he's still not getting it. You know, then that's when you make an adjustment.
I think your situation with your dealership is unique, and also in what we talked about with the servers is unique, because the individual is responsible and accountable on each situation, each transaction, as to how much compensation they're going to receive, because your people get paid off of commission.
Correct. The salespeople.
The salespeople get paid off a commission, and servers get paid primarily off of tips. But if you're getting an hourly wage, I think oftentimes that sense of entitlement kind of creeps in, and the training is much more necessary. It's there's not as much character that I think has been built into the generation, like Gen Zs out there, as there have been in periods past, because they've been brought up to feel like they're right. And other people need to cater to their feelings and their whims. And so with the customer always being right, I want to get back to macroeconomics a little bit here. And the question is, does a market economy serve the people better than a socialistic economy or a communistic economy? And the answer is, when you're doing a market economy, you're focusing 90 to 95% of your time considering, what can I do to make those who I'm trying to serve happier? Because if they're not happy, they're not going to buy the product or pay you for the service that you're offering. Now, when the government is offering it, and the people that are the bureaucrats of the government that are actually handing out the service or the product, they have guaranteed jobs, they're not real concerned about whether or not the public that they're serving are happy, because they just have a job to do. And they're going to have that job tomorrow, the next day, regardless of how successful and how happy their customers are. But in a capitalistic society, it's often branded as something that is very greedy and selfish, and people just want more and more for themselves, when in reality, the people that own the capital and are running the business are really trying to provide that service at the highest level and at the lowest price possible. So they're looking out at everybody else. It's the most altruistic system that we have.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in the private business, again, the only thing that makes your business different is your people. And you've got to, you know, train and talk about, you know, you want everybody to leave your business with a product a little bit happier than they thought they would be.
Yeah.
Period.
And I think people are coming in with high expectations in the first place, so that really sets the bar higher
and higher every single day. And no matter how minute their problem might be, that's a big deal to them. And you have to address it, handle it, and make them happy. You know, I've over the years, we've had, you know, different situations where, you know, a customer come in unhappy about something and maybe it wasn't covered under warranty. I look at it as, hey, you know what? We're going to fix that anyways for you, no charge. You know, then my service manager might be like, you know, man, it's like $200. Well, I can't buy that ad for $200.
Right.
And I genuinely want the customer happy. And I don't want them happy just about the money or just about the deal. I want them happy with their RV and they're out there enjoying the lifestyle that they chose to spend their hard-earned money on. You know, and if every product had the attitude, let me back up. We're not 100%. I'd love to be, but I think we tried really hard. But if everybody did that, then, you know, simple old rule, just treat your customer like you would want to be treated if you had that you know, if the roles were reversed,
right,
make them happy, period. So maybe they're not right, but, you know, being right and being happy, you know, maybe two different things a little bit, but you always want them happy.
Because we know that there are a lot of irrational people out there expecting things that are unreasonable. But for us to go the extra mile and to try to resolve the issue not only makes us more cordial as an individual to deal with, but it promotes the business overall. And I think that they win in the sense that they leave as a happy individual, and you win because you've got more business to deal with in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people that are irrational, I you know, because I always try to, like, you know, gosh, how could you think that?
You mean?
They've been wrong somewhere and treated badly someplace on something that has caused them to get this attitude of, I don't know, entitlement or whatever you want to call it. Something happened to them somewhere along the way.
Uh-huh.
And you want to, you know, I look at it as a challenge. Hey, let's get the corner turned and get these people happy. And then it's not, you know, because you'll hear people say all the time, oh, you don't want to talk to that guy. He's like a used car guy.
Yeah.
Or, yes.
You know.
Yes.
You don't want that.
That's
that
stigma out
you
there.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, you know what? We had a good experience there. We're gonna tell 10 people. Mm-hmm. If they have a bad experience, they're going to tell 200.
Right.
So, you know, hey, I'll take the 10 or the 20 that they might tell that it was good. That's what you want.
You have a clip you wanted to show, Sean.
Yeah, so I want to talk more about an employee's mentality that isn't getting compensated directly based on their performance, for example, commissions and the sales that they make. And if you've had experience with employees that, regardless of how much you try to tell them, they feel like showing up late for work isn't a big deal, or regardless of how well they work and how efficient they are, they expect their vacation time to be there. They're going to take it off whenever they have it available, regardless of the level of workload that they have pending. And I want to play a clip here that kind of explains the mentality, the two different mentalities that we as parents can raise in our children, and we as employees, we as employers see among employees that we hire. So I'm going to play this clip real quick. It's quite good. And before we play this clip, I want to just preface it with, I love sports when comparing real life scenarios, because in sports, they don't care what color you are. They don't care what your background is. They care what your performance is. And I don't understand why we can have affirmative action in our highest institutions of learning and think that that's going to promote the quality of our nation and our community in general, when we don't do the same thing on our basketball teams and our football teams and our hockey teams and our baseball teams, because in those teams we want to win and we don't care what color they are. We want them to win, and they're never diverse across, they're never an accurate representation of the population of the community that they're playing in. They are a representation of the best athletes that the owner of the team could acquire, and the fans are only mad if the team doesn't win. They're not mad if they got too many of a certain color of individual.
But what would you say makes an athlete the best athlete? Let's use Michael Jordan as an example. We grew up in that era, right? The right. Bulls and Jordan. What would make him one of the best basketball players of all time? His skin color?
Absolutely not. His dedication and his commitment to his craft.
Yeah.
And his attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of things I think that make a great athlete, but it has to do with what's in that man's heart.
And I think you said it right earlier. I think it was last segment. You said you lead by example as an employer or as a manager or a person that's involved with the employees, let's say on a lower level, you lead by example. And I think you think of Michael Jordan or you think of Kobe Bryant or any of these that have been some of the greatest basketball players of all time. It's not just that they can make shots. It's that they can have people coalesce behind them and be one for a purpose, if that makes sense, or a Tom Brady in the NFL. Well, it seems like you have individuals in these high levels of athleticism that have the capability. When they're on your team, you win. Mm-hmm. Is that an anomaly? You know, you watch Tom Brady move around. Whatever team he goes to, they start winning. They start going to Super Bowls. So it begs the question, well, what is Tom Brady doing on the field and off the field to make that happen? And I think it's more than just playing the game really well. I think it's you have to have everybody with you. You have to have all 12 players on that football team that are on the field at the time trust you and be with you. And I think that's the same concept with an employer. We have to be together in purpose, and they have to trust you. Know that we have your back. You know, if you have a customer that comes in and they're yelling and screaming at you, the customer is always right, but I still have your back. There's a way to deal with that.
Yeah. And what drives me crazy is when individuals say, what kind of society do we live in where we pay a baseball player, you know, $50 million a year, and we pay a teacher $50,000 a year? And I say, well, hold on a second. Let's back up a little bit. First of all, you don't pay that baseball player. The owner of the team pays the baseball player. The owner of the team is not demanding money out of your pocket, you know, at the threat of you going to jail if you don't pay it. To pay that baseball player, you are if you do contribute to their salary at all, it's because you wanted to go see that baseball player perform. You wanted to see that team win, and so you are voluntarily contributing to his salary. Whereas a teacher, yes, as a society, I think that we should put a higher priority on teachers because they're so important in molding our children's minds. But it's the tax dollars that are taken from us to pay the teacher. And whether we like it or not, that is taken from us. And so what it comes down to is, okay, if you want the teacher to be paid more, then you need to invest in a private school and pay a teacher the salary that you think that they're deserving, because that's the only way you control it. With a baseball player, you can't complain about what they earn because we are determining and voluntarily contributing to their salary, and they're worth every bit of what we voluntarily give to them. Now, are some of the government employees worth what they receive by the tax dollars that they forcibly take from us and reattribute to them? I don't think so. You go to the DMV, and I don't think the customer service is there.
I agree with you, and boy, that's just that's a tough question. But, you know, basketball players, baseball players, professional sports players make them lots of money. It's just like anything else of supply and demand.
Yet
the owner, you know, the supply and demand for good school teachers, it's kind of like paying a good server at a restaurant. You can't pay them too much.
And I think the problem that happened with it is not that we as a society don't appreciate teachers. I think the government inserted themselves into education, and anytime they do that with any aspect of society, they ruin it.
Right.
Can you think of an industry that the government has taken over that thrives and that people are happy to participate in? Look at the IRS, look at the DMV, look at the Postal Service. I have a picture on my phone that I snapped. You know, I sent it to you, Adam. It was about 2 months ago, driving down the highway. And I snapped this picture of this Rivian electric Amazon truck that looks like it's something out of the future driving down. The person driving, it's got this uniform, well-dressed, well-groomed. And then right behind it is this USPS. It's like a 1998 GMC Jimny with a paint peeling on it. And the box is literally strapped to the roof with some Harbor Freight orange tie-down. And I'm thinking, this organization, the USPS, the United States Postal Service, is getting billions of dollars a year in subsidies to do the same thing as Amazon, and look at the quality of service they're providing. That's what happens when you allow the government to get involved in the industry. And that's why teachers get paid so poorly, because we don't directly contribute to their salary and directly receive in return from our contributions. If we had more of a customer service, a free market interaction with education, I think we'd get a lot more for our buck, and the teachers would be a lot happier with their jobs.
We didn't get to your wonderful clip.
Okay.
So we'll do it in the next segment. We're out of time. We got to go to the next segment. But when we come back, we'll do your clip. Mike and I haven't seen the clip. We haven't vetted this thing, so we don't know if it's any good.
It's got a lot of shorts in it. There's some.
It's good. We're going with Sean.
We're going with Sean.
We have to.
I'll let you know right now.
We're in the back seat, though. Oh,
yeah. If it's not a good clip, I'm going to let you know.
Yep.
We'll be right back. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Bongino, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU. 95.1 KTTI, 100.9 The River, and 560 K Blue. Welcome back our winter visitors and invite you to enjoy everything our local businesses have to offer. Be sure to visit Chevron with 20 locations in Yuma. Top off with Techron at your neighborhood Chevron.
Have you ever thought about the causes the brands that you support stand behind? Well, Pure Talk, my cell phone company, supports veterans. They've relieved $10 million in veterans' debt, donated tens of thousands of dollars monthly to prevent veteran suicide, donated $50,000 to Micro Works, and that helps provide scholarships to veterans after active duty. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. Do it now, you save an additional 50% off your first month. Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner, attorney at Deason, Garner, and Hanson. I'm in studio here with Adam Hanson and our special guest, Mike Green. Now, we are attorneys that help people organize their affairs, their financial affairs, and their family affairs, for that matter, to make sure that if they become disabled or they pass away, that their legacy can be continued on without interruption. We try to keep the government out of their lives as much as possible, so their family or their chosen charity or whatever organization they want to pass on their legacy to can receive what they have worked for over a lifetime. Now, that being said, how am I qualified to talk about what I am, and that is social justice and how politics should be run and what goes on in society and what makes a good employee? Well, because I live and breathe in this society, and I see what works, and I have studied at some length. I was a political science major, what worked around the world, and there is zero examples of socialism working around the world. It's not that it wasn't implemented correctly in a certain culture at a certain period of time. It was that it was, the quicker it failed was a correct demonstration of how well it was implemented. The better it's implemented, the quicker it drops off and demonstrates that it's another disaster, because individuals, we are incentivized by what we actually can build and acquire, and if that is based on helping other individuals, then we are going to help other individuals to help ourselves acquire and achieve more. We are goal-oriented individuals. We always want to achieve more for ourselves and our family, and if that's going to be capped and limited at a certain amount, regardless of how well we perform, then our performance is going to drop off the charts. If it is based directly on how well we can serve others, then our performance is going to climb to heights that are unimaginable, and innovation and inventions are going to help everybody's lives become better. Mike, you've done that by providing good service with RVs and people to get out there, recreational vehicles, and enjoy time with their families by making it a enjoyable experience in purchasing the RV in the first place. So when they get out there, they can relax and spend a little time away from their day-to-day grind. So I want to play a clip about how we get the mentality into society in general about people that want to produce and people that want to become better themselves, as opposed to those who expect or are entitled to those around them to provide everything that they want. And sports is a wonderful analogy because the scoreboard doesn't lie. And you don't get affirmative action in sports because it simply doesn't work. The people that perform the best, white or black or anywhere in between, are going to get the position because crowds only like to watch winning teams, and owners only thrive when their teams are successful. So let's play this clip.
The kids I'm trying to recruit, are you hungry or you just want some meat? Now, a hungry kid, he going to make a mayonnaise sandwich. He going to find a place to play. He going to call all around to get in the gym. He going to figure it out. But a kid who wants something to eat, he got a cabinet full of food. He just sitting at home waiting for somebody to cook it. He ain't trying to cook it. So does he practice? Yeah, because you ask him to. Does he work out? Yeah, because, like, come on, let's work out. But he ain't hungry. And so when you get to the Division I level, we got to get guys who are hungry. We don't need guys who just want something to eat. But for a parent has to raise, you're raising one or two kids. You're either raising a wolf or a sheep. Now, you raise a sheep, you're going to have to protect them all the time. And that's what's happening to parents. They want to protect their kids all the time because that's a sheep. You always got to protect the sheep. You can't never leave a sheep alone. That's what it is. But a wolf will find other wolves to find some way to eat. And they have to realize that. Because struggle builds character. They're trying to take away the struggle, and there's no character being built below us.
Pretty strong.
What's your take? See, right or wrong?
I think, there's a lot more to it. But, yeah, he's right.
What more is there to it? Let's get some pearls of wisdom from Mike Green here.
Well, I mean, I'm certainly probably never going to win Father of the Year, but it has a lot to do with the way you raise your kids. And
how many kids do you have?
I have two.
Okay.
I have two. I have a son that's 38 and a daughter that's 31. And both great kids. I'm really, 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 really lucky. There was a saying around that, and I'm going to try to recall it exactly. It's like, my dad didn't tell me how to live. He showed me how to live and let me watch him do it. And that's, it just goes back to teaching. Just like we were talking earlier about, your employee that might not be doing a good job. Well, did you teach him? Did you show him?
I can attest to that about your dad because even though I never bought an RV from him, I did want to. And if I would have bought an RV anywhere, I would have bought it from him. But when he walked into the office, there was a presence about him. That guy was a worker. You could tell. You could take one look at his face, and you knew that he knew how to put in an honest day's work.
Yes, he did. He did. I have two younger sisters. And we always joke around that, the first word that we learned at our house growing up wasn't mom or dad. It was positive attitude. And it really was. I mean, he beat that into our heads, as long as I can remember. I'd get in a little bit of trouble at school or something and come home and, I'd just beg him. I'd like, can you just get the razor strap out and beat me with it? Do I have to sit here and listen to you?
Why
did I do this? What did I think?
That's the worst punishment.
The lecture.
Looking back today, he was the greatest teacher in the world, in my eyes.
Did you have disagreements? Do you ever remember any disagreements with him?
It's funny you would ask that. I was talking about this the other day. We worked together for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I don't recall ever going home upset at him, but I'm pretty sure he went home upset at me on more than one occasion.
That's how Sean and I are.
Yeah, and I asked him, and Sean knows my dad passed from cancer, and I spent a lot of time with him in his last months. I'd go see him every single night after work. Sometimes the conversation was 2 minutes, sometimes it was 4 hours, just depending on how he felt. And I asked him one day, I said, Dad, I got a question for you. And he goes, yeah, what is it? And I go, why didn't you just kill me when I was in my 40s? And he was like, well, boy, he says, I'll tell you what. He goes, I thought about it. You know, and it was, he goes, but I thought you would come around. I knew you would come around. He goes, I just didn't think it'd take so long. You know, and I'll never forget that conversation. And I just, you know, I thank God every day that I had that time with him, because we just kind of like relived everything,
yeah.
You know, during that time.
The important stuff, right? Everything else just fades away.
The speaker went off here. Sorry about that.
You're fine.
So I can still hear you.
Okay.
I got a glimpse into how your family operated and how close they were, just by working with you. And that's a big reason that, you know, we've maintained a friendship over these years. I think it's probably going on 10 years now.
Yes, it is.
And one of the things that I wanted to know was, did you get handed this dealership? Or did you earn this dealership? And after going out and visiting the dealership, I was really blown away with how much you knew about each rig that was out there. And a lot of you've got a lot of nostalgia for some rigs that got a special place in your heart, because you grew up with them, you worked hard on them, you restored them, and now they resemble a period of your life that was the struggle, where you didn't have a lot left over at the end of the week. And so you really want to preserve those core memories. And your dad raised you to be a wolf. You're going to eat. And I, just driving by your dealership, I could get the false assumption that this is an individual that is wealthy and was probably part of a dynasty of a family that walked into this. But spending time with you, I see your car, and now I recognize your car. I see your car there early in the morning, and I see your car there in the evening as well.
What are you doing up so early?
Exactly. And so I know you put a ton of time and work in. So what was it that made you a wolf in the fact that you're going to go out there and you're going to make it in society, whether it's selling cars or hauling hay?
Well, I mean, I think it boils down to that attitude and a work ethic.
What do you mean by attitude?
You just got to have a positive attitude every day, period. I mean, because stuff's going to go wrong. And, you know, but your attitude is, you know, 90% of your problem is going to be your attitude and how you take care of it. And there's nothing that can get thrown at you that there's always a solution. Might not be pretty, it might not be what you want, but there's always a solution to every problem. And you know, I just wake up in the morning believing that.
And I know that you could retire right now if you wanted to, but you don't. And why is that?
Well, I love what I do. And I love, and I, you know, honest to God, I love our people that we have working there, all of them. And that I think that's what drives me a little bit.
I think a lot of people believe that if they just had money, they would be happier. They would be satisfied. Their life would be more fulfilled. And in reality, it's contributing and making something. It's the actual creation of something new and beautiful that provides that self-worth. And individuals that acquire money without putting that work in, it's just an empty shell. And they don't realize it, but they become an empty shell. It's the journey that actually is the joy of life. It's not the money. Now, there's the necessity of money to, you know, get the food and the shelter and the things that we need to survive. But, you know, Adam, you've gone through this. You weren't handed anything as far as wealth in your life. You worked through it and earned it and built your character in getting to the point that you're at right now. What experience would you forego if you were just to be handed this position in the firm and the paycheck that you get?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Mike, you said it well. You got to go through those tribulations. You got to, they build character. And I think the attitude is everything. I asked you, what do you mean by attitude? Because you can have a bad attitude, you can have a good attitude. And I think you had this experience too, Sean. You came from humble beginnings as well. And I think it's the true American spirit. I think if you embrace the idea that I'm here, but I can do what myself is my own limitation. If you really embrace that and you have a good attitude about there's going to be some hard things come at me, but it's how I respond to those. Am I just going to, I've told this before. I love Rocky, the movie saga of Rocky.
Sure.
And that's how I grew up. It was kind of like church, family, Rocky. That was the foundation of my upbringing.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Jordan.
And there you go. You got to throw that in.
I got to throw that in. But, you know, he would get knocked down, but you get back up. You always get back up. And what that looks like in real life is you have a bad day, you know. Things didn't go as well as you thought they would. You assess that, and you pivot. You don't let that keep you down. You keep moving forward, I think, is this attitude. And I think you've embraced that over your life. Sean, if you don't know, you listeners, Sean was an impeccable wrestler. And he had an experience where your senior year, that all came to a halt because of an injury that just put him out. He had scholarships lined up to go to school. And how did you get through that? I mean, as I've often wondered this, as you see an elite athlete go through some sort of traumatic experience where they're injured to the extent that what they were as an athlete probably is never going to be what they had dreamed it to be. How do you mentally come back from that? I think it's the same attitude. It's the attitude.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what happened. I got in a car accident, and I ended up breaking my neck along with several other bones. But my broken neck ended the career for wrestling. And at first, I looked at that as catastrophic. I look back at it as the best thing that ever happened to me. And the reason why is because the same person that got into the car at the beginning of the trip got out of the car at the end of the trip with a broken neck, right? I didn't change overnight. And then I went into surgery, and there was this miraculous thing that occurred because the statistics were not in my favor that I would actually regain the use of my limbs. I was partially paralyzed as a result of that surgery. That's all the time we have for today. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
Is it time for your yearly eye exam? Don't wait. Your vision is precious, and a regular checkup at Corona Optique is essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Early detection of conditions like glaucoma can make a world of difference. Our comprehensive eye exams are designed to catch these issues early and keep your vision sharp. Imagine seeing the world with clear, healthy eyes. Don't let vision problems sneak up on you. From dry eyes to more complex conditions, Corona Optique is here to provide personalized care. Our state-of-the-art technology and experienced staff are dedicated to your eye health. Your eyes deserve the best care. Regular exams can prevent small problems from becoming big ones. Invest in your vision today for a brighter tomorrow. Schedule your comprehensive eye exam today by calling us at 928-726-1100 or visit us online at coronaoptique.com. Healthy eyes, happy life.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game. Marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
Hi, this is Leanne Womack. I fell in love with country music as a child listening to my dad spin records at a radio station. I always dreamed of hearing my own songs on the radio. I set a goal and achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.